Please stand out of reverence for the words of the gospel lesson for the first Sunday in Lent, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, right on page 967 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Last year, on this very Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent, the devil paid a visit to St. Paul's. Perhaps some of you remember that. And in unprecedented form, he shared the intimate details of his scheme to destroy Jesus' holiness, and in so doing, also destroy any hope of this world's redemption. Now, if he couldn't attain that goal, no worries, the devil said. He had a plan B. He would undo everything that Jesus had accomplished on the cross by going after the one thing that connects you and me to Jesus. He would attack and destroy our faith. Now, that the devil would reveal his strategy is truly unprecedented, because the devil's cunning. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And at least in this day and age, accomplishes most of what he does by hiding from us what his plans are. And so this year, as we begin our Lenten journey, we want to ask the question, what is the devil trying to hide from us? What is it that he doesn't want you to know? We're going to begin by taking a look at Hebrews 4:15. And in this passage, the holy writer, speaking of Jesus, says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." The first thing the devil doesn't want you to know is what it really meant for Jesus to be tempted like us in every way. Have you ever stopped to really think about that? What it meant for Jesus to be tempted like us in every way? Jesus is the Son of God. It's hard to imagine what that might mean for him. I mean, that puts him on a whole different level, right? Greed, self-glory, overindulgence, idolatry, sex, these are not the kind of things that would seem to be able to trip up the Son of God. James does say, doesn't he, that God cannot be tempted? And so it's no surprise that we read through this gospel lesson that Jesus so quickly and so proficiently deflects every one of Satan's temptations. What is surprising is scenes like the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, sweating great drops of blood, cries out to his heavenly Father, that his soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Jesus knows what's ahead. He is terrified. And for a moment, it sounds as though he is wanting to abandon ship. Now, here's the thing. Jesus would have never done that. As the Son of God, Jesus would not, he could not go against his Father's will. No matter how great his fear, no matter how much he wanted to run the other direction, nothing could stop Jesus from going to the cross. What we're wrestling with here really is Jesus' humanity. And a mystery that we will be exploring through these 7 weeks of Lent. The mystery that Jesus is fully God and fully man in one person. Two natures, divine and human, coexisting at the same time in this one body. As a human being, Jesus' pain was real. Jesus often grew physically weary. There were times when Jesus experienced sadness, heartache, anger, fear. There were times when Jesus was insulted and he felt the hurt of those insults. Jesus was frustrated at times because of the sinful responses of his parents. He was betrayed by people he had put his trust in. He counted on people and they let him down. Jesus felt intense sadness as he stood outside the grave of his friend Lazarus. As a teenager, a young man, Jesus had the same hormones that every young man has. Jesus, awesome, also had people in his life who were constantly trying to influence him to do the wrong things. Remember Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You do not have mind the things of God, but the things of man. Now for us, I'm talking about us as human beings now, these kinds of emotions, these kinds of circumstances often become the catalyst for what we call temptation. Selfish, self-centered desires. As sinful human beings, we allow lust and greed and anger and fear and even weariness to influence our reactions, our behaviors in selfish and ugly and unholy ways. In other words, we allow temptation to hook us and drag us down the road to sin. That is what happens in us over and over again. But Jesus was not like us, because Jesus wasn't born with a sinful nature. So what exactly was going on inside of Jesus as he was being tempted like us in every way, that will always be a mystery to us. But the point here is that for Jesus, all of these feelings, these experiences were real. When the Bible says that Jesus was tempted like us in every way, he was. The devil doesn't want you to think about that. He doesn't want you to contemplate what it really means for the Son of God to choose to deal with and to face these kind of struggles on a daily basis, because the more you think about that, the more you understand the truth of what Jesus did, the more you'll realize how much he really loves you. Something else the devil doesn't want you to know is why it was so important that Jesus be tempted like you in every way. In Hebrews 4:15, the inspired author adds a very important phrase. He says, "We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." By going head to head with every single one of our temptations and choosing obedience every time, Jesus did what we could not. And the devil doesn't want you to know this, but through faith, every one of Jesus' righteous choices becomes yours. Romans 5:19, through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. That's how God, according to his gracious saving plan, chooses to see it. Despite the fact that I'm making wrong choices all the time, that I give way to temptation instead of fleeing from it, God, for the sake of the cross, chooses, when he looks at me, to see only Jesus' perfection. The devil doesn't want you to know that or understand that. The devil wants you to live in doubt. The devil wants your heart to be gripped with fear every time you fall into temptation. He wants you to think that the devil is, or that God sees only your failures, that God is looking down in anger and frustration and disappointment, that you are worthless and hopeless. Certainly, the devil does not want you to approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. In other words, the devil doesn't want you to know that even in the midst of your failure to thwart off temptation, God is still on your side and by your side with exactly what you need to help. He doesn't want you to know that Jesus, who understands, who knows what you're going through, who empathizes with your weaknesses, is not your enemy, but is your greatest ally. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we read, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." My friends, the devil does not want you to know that God, when it comes to temptation, will always provide a way out. Despite what we just read and just said, when it comes to temptation, for many Christians, we feel defeated. We feel that it's really hopeless, that temptation is too strong, we are too weak. And humanly speaking, that's absolutely true. But what did God just promise? He said that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will provide a way out. This is a truth that the devil does not want you to see, because this truth, more than any, destroys his power over you. It is the truth that as a believer, you have a new nature inside of you that loves God and only wants to do God's will. The Apostle John reminds us, 1 John 4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them." Them talking about the temptation to follow deceiving spirits. It's what comes next that's incredibly powerful. "Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We have one who is inside of us, who is greater, stronger than the devil, who will give us the power to overcome. Jesus once said, "The truth will set you free." Every temptation is based on a lie. Jesus' first temptation, "Turn this stone into bread." For 40 days, Jesus had been in the wilderness fasting. Now, fasting is really not a part of our spiritual life vocabulary anymore. Fasting means to not eat for a certain period of time. And fasting used to be a very common spiritual discipline in which people would show their commitment to God, or even more importantly, fasting removed any kind of obstacle to people growing in their relationship with God and refocusing on the purpose that God had given them. After 40 days of this spiritual discipline in the wilderness, Jesus, as you might imagine, was hungry. Turn this stone into bread would have easily fulfilled that great physical need. And the lie the devil wanted Jesus to believe is that his physical need was more important than his spiritual need. Forget about God right now. You need to eat. But Jesus didn't fall for it. And here's why. Because even though Jesus was literally starving to death, Jesus was already full. Jesus once said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus was accomplishing the eternally important work that his Father had given him to do. That was his big, hairy so what. That was his focus. And it filled him so much that nothing could tempt him or tear him away from that mission. Now, this illustration isn't quite as noble, but it'd be kind of like going to the chicken dinner and eating so much chicken that the pie doesn't even look tasty anymore. What Jesus is teaching us is that God's way out is to be so full of God's word of truth, so in tune with God's will for our lives, that temptation doesn't even look tempting anymore. A Christian gentleman was talking to me one day, telling me about his struggle, like so many men, with inappropriate, lustful thoughts, especially when he saw women who were not appropriately dressed. Nightclubs, bars, Even wedding receptions, every man knows that these kinds of situations are ripe for temptation. Well, he had the idea one day that if he used some of his free time, maybe the time driving to work, or time he spent at the gym, or maybe even off times at his job, to listen to the Word of God, that maybe that would help. And what he found out is that over time, the more he listened to the Word of God, the less he was tempted to those lustful thoughts or even gossip or anger. The more Jesus filled him, the less the devil could creep in and take over. It is written, Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The truth that Jesus wants us to see here is that there's a whole lot more to this life than this life. The devil wants you to believe that this life is the most important thing, and he is going to tempt you to live in such a way that this life crowds out God from your life. Do you see that happening in your life? But that's just the opposite of what Jesus teaches us here. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let's be so full of Jesus that there's no room left for the world to creep in and push him out. And we can do this because the one who is living in us is greater than the one who is living in the world. In his second temptation, the devil took Jesus to the highest point in the temple. And he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. In other words, use one part of God's word to nullify another part. This is one of Satan's classic temptations, and that is to mold and shape God and his word into what we want God to be, what we want God to think and to do and to say. God loves me and wants me to be happy, right? That's the 21st century version of Satan's temptation here. It's, if God loves me, then he doesn't want me to be unhappy in this marriage, right? So I should get out. If God loves me, then I should be able to live whatever lifestyle makes me happy. This type of thinking opens the floodgates to justifying just about any behavior. And somewhere along our life's journey, we've all been there. Jesus Jesus was so closely connected, so in tune with his Father, his ally, that their wills were literally one. And so this same Jesus, who at that very pivotal point in his life in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done," as that same Jesus sinks our hearts and minds more and more with his, we find a freedom we never knew we had before. Freedom to say, no matter what, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." And we can do this because greater is the one who is living in us than him who is living in the world. For the last temptation, the devil takes Jesus to a high mountain where he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, "All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me." This is the temptation to take the shortcut to happiness, to glory, to whatever it is we think or we believe we want or need in this life. This is the temptation not to live with integrity, but to compromise, to cheat, to show indiscretion, to tell little white lies. What's it going to hurt? Once again, when Jesus, who had nothing but integrity, when the same Jesus who refused to take any shortcut, even though he knew that the path to glory for him led to the cross, when this Jesus takes over our thoughts, we become convinced, like him, that there is no shortcut to any place worth going. There's no shortcut to any place worth going. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Any real happiness or meaning or glory or purpose is going to be found only as we follow the path that Jesus lays out for us. And we can follow that path because greater is the one who is living in us than he was living in this world. Finally, above all else, I believe that the devil doesn't want you to know that Jesus, your greatest ally, remains your greatest ally, even when you struggle to believe that. The devil wants you to hear this message today and think to yourself, "Well, I'm hopeless. When I look at my life, all I see is failure after failure after failure. I don't deserve an ally like Jesus." The devil doesn't want you to know that that's exactly why Jesus came. That's exactly why Jesus took that long walk into the wilderness. Because you and I are hopeless. That's exactly why Jesus faced every temptation imaginable for you and for me. God's love and forgiveness is boundless. For the Christian, that love and forgiveness is the ultimate way out. Because it's this truth, more than any other, that will empower you to walk out of this church today armed to the hilt against Satan and every one of his temptations. Greater is the one who is living in you than he who is living in the world. Of course, the devil doesn't want you to know that. But now you do. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.